Trust his word. I'm going to ask you to do that today because we're going to be looking at a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that is going to require us to trust his word. And to follow what this says, to obey the instructions that Paul gives us, is going to be counterintuitive. It's not what our culture teaches. In fact, it's probably not even what your heart teaches you. This is going to be requiring sacrifice on our part. This is going to be allowing the trampling of our own rights and really even the theft of our own property at times for a greater cause. I remember years ago, my wife's brother, he and his bride, newly married, and trying to provide for his family, he went into construction. And I believe he was working for a Christian contractor. And busy working hard, long days out in Colorado. And I remember all of a sudden hearing that the pay sometimes was a little spotty. Sometimes the contractor had the money. Sometimes they didn't have the money when it was time to pay the workers, but you know the promise was made that don't worry, it's coming. And so he'd keep working, and then sometimes the money would come and kind of get caught back up, and then the contractor start getting a little behind, and don't worry, or I'm going to get you caught up. Don't worry, like before. And one day, the man committed suicide. The contractor. All that pay just evaporated. And now my brother-in-law is kind of scrambling. He's got a wife to care for and so forth, and he's been working long hours for a while, and now there's no pay to show for it, and there's nowhere else to go right now, so he went into business for himself because that's so easy, right? Oh, my. So he goes into business for himself, and of course, when you're in business for yourself, word of mouth, referrals are so important. So he's making flyers, he's distributing, he's trying to get word out that he's available, and he starts picking up some jobs, and they're starting to come in a little slowly, but it's getting some work, and they're just scraping by. And then a dear lady in his church, in fact, a widow lady, had contracted with him to go ahead and finish her basement. And so they agreed on a certain price and what she wanted in the basement and so forth, and it was very reasonable. And so began work on her basement. I think she gave him maybe half the money up front, and then maybe half the money when the work was completed. Well, as he's working, she starts throwing in, "Hey, you know, it'd be really nice if we added a bathroom." So, okay, well, that's going to be so much more money, and she says, you said you would refinish my basement, and I'm just asking for a bathroom. And I don't know all of the details, but in the end, what happened was there was a misunderstanding between the lady and my brother-in-law, and she, in the end, decided not to pay him the second half of the money. And she felt like he didn't do all the things that she wanted him to add in. And she said, "Well, I'm going to tell everybody at our church what a terrible worker you are." As when you're in work for yourself, boy, your reputation is so important. And he had no money, hardly anyway, either. And it was right at that time, by the way, that his wife gave him the wonderful news that she was expecting twins, their first children. And so he was pretty distraught. I mean, he'd done all this work. Now he's not going to get paid for it. Plus, she's going to damage his reputation. She's going to tell people in the church. And so he set up an appointment with the pastor. Of course, she set up an appointment with the pastor, and there was nothing written down. Right? Because why would you ever need to write something down with another Christian, right? Right? You just, that's all good. It's always wise, by the way, even with another Christian brother or sister, to just write it down, because sometimes there can be misunderstandings. Not that anyone's right or wrong necessarily, but it could just be a misunderstanding. So it's important to just have it nice written down and understanding and so forth and signing it. But they didn't have anything written down. He was new at this. He was learning, you know. He went to the pastor and he explained the situation. The pastor recognized it was a tough spot to be in. I mean, there was no church discipline or anything like that. It was just a very unfortunate circumstance. And yet, what is my brother-in-law going to do? Is he going to take this woman to court? Is he going to sue her? Well, thankfully, he grew up in a Christian home with a dad who was a pastor that preaches the Word of God. And so he understood the lessons that we're going to be looking at here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He ended up not suing that woman and just leaving it in the Lord's hands. By the way, that story has a wonderful, wonderful ending. And I'm going to give it to you in the conclusion of the message. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? In other words, he's saying, do you have the audacity to take an incident that's between two brothers in Christ? We're going to see this in the passage. This is one Christian who has a beef with another Christian, and like a civil suit against another Christian, and they're going to court, downtown Frederick, for instance, and bringing this before an unsaved magistrate or judge. When it says here, go to law before the unjust, we're not talking about a crooked judge or somebody who's taking bribes. This unjust judge is one who is not a Christian. It's in contradiction to or contradistinction with a saint. Or if you look down at verse 6, he's referred to as an unbeliever. So we're talking about an unsaved judge taking it to the courthouse downtown, somebody who's not even a Christian, maybe not even a part of your church, and you're going to bring this matter to them? Verse 2, do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a single wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren? But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers? Now, therefore, there is utterly a fault. This is a defeat. This is a loss among you. Because ye go to law one with another, why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves, allow yourselves to be defrauded, cheated? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. And so this morning, it's important for us to understand, we are not, Paul is not talking about a Christian never bringing an unsaved person to court. This is not talking about a Christian can never sue somebody for damages. And this isn't talking about criminal trials. I think sometimes in the past our churches have gotten these confused, and maybe there was a youth pastor who molested a girl in the youth group and they just kind of handled it in-house. No, when there has been a law that has been broken, the law has been offended, and the law must be dealt with. You cannot just sweep those things under the carpet. Those have to be brought to justice. Those have to be given to
the law. And in fact, I was part of a church some years ago where things came up, and it was pretty painful to have to bring it out and share this in the public forum of a courtroom. But we felt it was the right thing to do. And boy, I tell you, the news media had a heyday with it. And the Catholic Archdiocese with the Baptist Church had a really big time with it, because they were trying to take all of the blame off of themselves and say, see, the Baptists have the same problem, you know. But it was the right thing to do. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about one Christian has a problem with another Christian that hasn't maybe kept a contract, maybe it's cheated them out of something, maybe taken something that doesn't belong to them, maybe done something to them, hit their car in the church parking lot, I don't know, some sort of wrong from one Christian to another. And Paul says, look, can't the church handle this themselves? Don't bring it to a court with unsaved people. And so it is this morning, I submit to you, that Paul is teaching us that saints should handle civil suits within the church. Saints should handle civil suits within the